So today's message is inspired by Jimmy Abegg. He's a musician and an artist who was a member of Rich Mullins' Ragamuffin Band. Jimmy wrote a chapter called Liturgical Living in a collection of essays dedicated to Rich Mullins called Winds of Heaven, Stuff of Earth. In his essay, he writes, "In any good story, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. Liturgy is profound because it paints a pattern. It becomes a compass in a person's life." So we find ourselves now at the beginning of a story that few of us could have ever imagined just a couple of weeks ago. And we have no idea where the middle of this story is going to take us, let alone when and how it will ultimately end. What we do know is what it has already taken away from us. Many of the routines and patterns that form the bearings that are familiar in our lives. The school week, date night at our favorite restaurant or at the movie theater, March Madness, and just a host of other things that have been taken away from us because of this crazy experience. Now, of course, our ability to gather together at the house of the Lord has also been taken from us. This is one of the most centering aspects of our life of faith. Here I am speaking to a camera set up in my house, operated by my wife, who gets big kudos for producing this whole thing and figuring out how to keep me focused and calm. And it's not just us. Virtual church via live streaming has become the new normal for most believers. So what can give this new normal some semblance of true normal? I would suggest, along with Jimmy A., that the cultivation of a liturgical lifestyle might help us. But before we consider what that might look for us personally, let's take a moment to talk about what liturgy is in general and how it has shaped the worship and the life of the church for centuries. At a basic level, liturgy establishes a particular order that the worship service follows, during which the congregants, that's a fancy name for us, engage in specific actions and responses to the order. Liturgy tends to be associated more with high churches, like Lutherans and Catholics and Episcopalians. We wouldn't tend to think of ourselves as a liturgical church, but if you think about it, we do, every Sunday, follow a particular order, and we act and respond in a particular way at a particular time. So this isn't something that's completely familiar with us. Even the fact that worship takes place every Sunday for most churches is liturgical. It's an element of liturgy. So there's six or seven basic elements of liturgical service that are designed purposefully to tell the story of a life of faith as they unfold during the course of a service. First, the call to worship. This is where we are called to enter into God's presence and prepare our hearts to receive what he has for us. There's the reading of the word, where we listen and hear what God has for us and be transformed by his church. There's the prayers of the people, where we ask and receive God's goodness and mercy into our lives, into the lives of others. Of course, there's the preaching of the word. The gospel is proclaimed, and we respond to the proclamation of the gospel according to God's will. There's the communion of saints, where we do two things, and one of these we don't often think about when we have communion. Communion involves recognizing ourselves as a body as we gather around the Lord's table. So it's a recognition of who we are as God's body, but it's also a recognition of Christ's body that was broken for us. We're going to share a virtual communion experience toward the end of service today. There's the singing of psalms and spiritual psalms, where we rejoice and praise and give God the glory. And then finally, there's a blessing, a benediction, a speaking of goodness over us, that we would go and share the gospel of God's saving grace with others. So now, how can we connect these liturgical elements with our daily life? And maybe more importantly, why should we want to? Jimmy A. writes in his essay, "There are many ways to live, But liturgy can function as a kind of baseline for living as a believer. If we can subscribe to even a small portion of it, liturgy brings something unnoticed to light in our inner life. It serves as a reminder of what it must be like to be saintly, to be humble, to be meek, to be righteous. For me, living liturgically brings peace in the storms of life. It brings order to the chaos of life. Why? How? Because living liturgically makes Christ, the giver of peace, the source of order, the center of my life. During his last days with his disciples, Jesus spoke peace into their lives in John 14, beginning in verse 16. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your hearts must not be troubled. Paul describes for us how we receive this peace in Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do we receive that peace? Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. It may not seem that we have a lot to be thankful about right now, but if you think about it, we all have so much to be thankful for. This passage in Philippians, I think, is a very concise expression of the heart of liturgical living. Now let's go back to those basic elements that I spoke about before of liturgy, and think about how we can incorporate those into our lives, ways that we can order and act and respond personally throughout the day to God's truth and goodness. I'll take them up one by one, and at the end of every one, I'm going to just offer up a quick little prayer to ask God to provide that for us. So let's start in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist writes, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? The call to worship is an invitation to enter into God's presence. Yes, I know, God is always present with us. But are we always mindfully and purposefully present with him? The answer to the psalmist's question is obviously, anytime I desire. When can I go and meet with God? Anytime I desire. The anytime is easy. It's the desiring part that is a little bit